We have theater to talk about. It is a Thursday, not a Wednesday, but that's okay. We're going to make it a theater day right now and spend some time with the folks from Liberty Lake and Liberty Lake Community Theater, which has an opening this weekend. So let's first meet the people involved. And so good morning to Jennifer Tindall. Hello, Jennifer.
Good morning, Vern.
And you're directing this Charlotte's Web play, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, well, let's also meet the president of the theater, Kyle Smock. So good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having us on, Vern.
Glad to. Okay, the question everybody has to get asked, even before we move to Jennifer, the long wait, the what you've done in the meantime, the quick overview of the past 14 months of your life for this theater group.
Absolutely. So it was a year ago in March that we shut down in the middle of a production. We had one weekend done of two weekends. It was a production of Puffs, the musical. And since that time, as a board of directors, we're a completely volunteer-run organization at TAC at the Lake. And we continued to meet monthly as a board on Zoom, and we continued to hope. And every month we would meet and we would talk about the outlook. Oh, it looks like maybe 60 more days, maybe 90 more days, maybe 30 more days. And it just kept getting pushed and pushed. And honestly, it was a struggle, as I know it was for most businesses. In that year, we spent over $20,000 on rent in a space we couldn't even really occupy because of the state requirements. We weren't even allowed to do work on the stage during most of this COVID time because we weren't allowed to be in our business. So it was with a great relief that we were able to kick back up and get live theater going again. And Jennifer stepped up and said, I'll do it. I'll be the guinea pig for the first live show back in Spokane. And we're doing Charlotte's Web. And we've had just a great response and a great turnout. I think parents were ready for their kids to get back into theater and have something to do. So,
and the theater, which we'll be talking about, the Charlotte's Web play that opens this weekend, runs this weekend and next week. And you know what? Something I've never quite been sure. TAC at the Lake is your actual name, is TAC Theater Arts for Children?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we actually are merged two community theaters. So TAC Theater Arts for Children and then the Liberty Lake Community Theater. 2 years ago, merged and became TAC at the Lake, kind of strengthening that community theater footprint in the west and the east valley there, and just became one organization. So now we're known as TAC at the Lake and located there in Liberty Lake at the old Liberty Lake Community Theater space.
Terrific. Well, let's bring in Jennifer Tindall, who's directing this. And Jennifer, kind of the multiple answer question on choosing Charlotte's Web, which we all know is certainly a lovely story. Did it have more to do with that, or did it have to do with some practical things just of how you could produce theater in these times?
Yeah, well, when I got asked to direct, I asked what the show was, and they told me it was Charlotte's Web. And immediately I thought, oh, that's a show that actually has a lot of depth to it. That's a story that has a lot of levels that I could really play around with actors. So that was the first thing that drew me in. And then I was a camp director last year for Spokane Valley Summer Theater for our camps, and we did socially distant theater camps. So I kind of had an idea of already how to block certain things based on that. So I went into it knowing that I felt like I could do it.
Well, and so let's stay with the practical for a moment. About how many kids does it use, and are they all kids? And how are you blocking and producing this show of Charlotte's Web?
Yeah, so I have 24 kids in the cast. I really felt like I had Spokane's most talented children just come and audition for me. It was a very hard show to cast because I had so much talent. But basically what we've been doing is the age ranges are from 6 to 18, so a wide age range. I've had to mark out where they stand on the stage at scenes, and they've had to write in their script specifically where they stand, kind of like where you would place a set piece. We have tape down so that the kids know that at that tape mark they stand there, and all the tape marks are lettered and numbered.
And then
it's very different.
Sure, of course it is, and those are the challenges we all live with. Then moving a little more to the aesthetic, most of us who simply know it as the lovely book and story that it is, talk how that story translates into a theatrical production.
Yeah, so the story really works well on the stage because it has so many different characters and layers to it. So with Fern and her family on the farm, they have these pigs that are born, and Wilbur is this tiny little pig, and they want to kill him, and Fern says no. So the family decides to take it to the Zuckerman's farm. And with the stage that we have, we were able to translate one singular barn as the entire set piece for both farms and the fair. It works for everything. And it's a beautiful set, and it was actually built by Kyle. So it works really well in the fact that the characters are allowed to have so many conversations with each other and really build upon relationships. Charlotte's and Wilbur's relationship is really beautiful. And Daisy Elf and Ava Johnson, who play Charlotte and Wilbur, have really built this connection between the two of them that just makes you believe their friendship wholeheartedly. And it really, I don't want to give away spoilers, but the ending really makes you emotional.
And what about the costuming? Because you could go from the fairly abstract and representational to pretty literal.
Yeah, so my costumer was Molly Robbins, and I talked to her day one, and I said, I want it to look very modern. I want it to look like we're inviting people into the world we're in right now. So she took that to heart, and everything is really modern. The animals in particular, they're wearing dresses and overalls, and they look like they're actual people, but they have ears, and they have little pieces of their costumes that make you realize that they are animals. And then the humans have obviously normal everyday wear that separates the two of them.
And going back to Kyle, Jennifer just talked about how you built the scene, the set for this. Talk a little bit more about your own passion and involvement in theater and set of skills that includes building a set.
Sure. I started in theater like many of the adults have, and that's because of my own child. I went to an audition class at TAC back 8 years ago, and we both ended up getting cast in a show, and I've never left since then. In any community organization, nonprofit organization, if you raise your hand once, you basically are tasked with anything that you'll do. And so I quickly became a member of the board. I've directed shows. I've done lighting design and set building. Normal day-to-day, I'm a woodworker and I like to build things. And the best thing about building a set for me is there's no code enforcement. It doesn't actually have to support a second floor. It doesn't have to support a windstorm. So you can really get creative about building an environment that immerses the audience. And that's always been one of my favorite parts. When we decided to do Charlotte's Web, honestly, I was quite worried. You know, in addition to the cost of everything else, the cost of lumber right now is just unobtainable, really, for doing a large set like this. And so I was fortunate enough to actually remove somebody's fence in the South Hill and get all of that fence board and able to recreate what looks like a pretty realistic looking barn on stage. And thankfully, Jennifer was able to really utilize that set, as she said, in so many different environments, whether it's the farm or the fair. So it's worked out really well, and I think people will be really pleased. And it was always one of our goals to go as big as possible when it comes to set and production quality. You know, we're a small theater, but we want people to have that big theater experience. And we want the kids and the actors on stage to have that big theater experience as well.
Going back to the first part of your answer, when you suddenly were put into a theatrical production, talk about how you and your insides have changed over the last 8 years from this experience of entering the world of theater.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've as a kid growing up, I did a lot of high school theater. I lived in Los Angeles and did a lot of entertainment industry work there as well. So I've always had a passion for the creative arts. For me, you know, a quick story, one of the in my entire life growing up, I always wanted to be able to sing. And my mom and everyone told me I was tone deaf. My band teacher told me I was tone deaf and I couldn't sing. And it was shortly after I started at TAC, I auditioned for, I was told to audition for a play, Kilroy Was Here, and I actually was taught how to sing. And that was probably one of the best moments in my theater life, is that I stood up on a stage as an adult and sung and danced at the same time, despite being told my entire life that I can't do it. And I think that's really the value of theater, is it produces so much good in different ways for every actor, whether it's the ability to be a public speaker, the ability to show emotions and wear those emotions on your sleeve and really talk with your face. It just provides so much value for people. And for me, I've kind of gotten away from the onstage stuff, and as being part of the board, it's more of the business of running a community theater and keeping it alive and managing the people that are involved with it. So I've not been able to be as creative as I'd like to be, but that's where the set building and lighting design and that kind of stuff comes in handy.
No, but I really did appreciate your testimony about the deeper things and the creative things, and I'm going to kind of opine separately that I think the next amendment to the Constitution should be making it illegal for anybody to ever tell a kid that they can't sing. Really seriously, because there's often simple solutions. I have a kid of my own that started out with what you'd call tone deaf, and now he's one of the most magnificent singers and sight readers one can imagine. And it simply is that hearing endlessly that story of the people that were told as kids, no, just move your lips because you're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible story. Yeah. Anyway, I shouldn't go to the sidelines there. But anyway, back to you, Jennifer. Kind of in relative to that, talk about your role as director, where you probably, as you already said, have some really experienced kids who have already done a lot of theater, and yet you're also doing theatrical education at the same time. And talk about that dual role.
Yeah. So it's been nice because the kids that are so professional, I've never really had an experience in a cast where I had kids where I could just give them one note and then they would just do it. So that was shocking for me. And I have quite a few kids that are able to just take one note and then do exactly what I envisioned. But the teaching aspect of it is, especially during COVID, there are certain things that I've had to change how I teach things, because obviously I'm not allowed to touch the kids. And usually when you're working with children and teaching them how to stand on stage and how to cheat out, I usually will be physical with them and show them. So that's been difficult, but they have really risen above, and all these kids have worked so, so hard. And then the acting side of it, really just talking with the kids about their characters and asking them as people, how would you feel if somebody did this to you? Or how would you feel in this situation? Not Wilbur, but how would you feel? Or not Charlotte, how would you feel? And then taking those feelings and saying, okay, now add Charlotte to it. Now how would Charlotte feel while still remembering how you felt? Because it's not very different. So I think that's really been helpful for the kids as well.
And certainly that kind of education backs up the things Kyle was saying about the life lessons you learn from the experience.
Yeah, yeah. At my college in New York, we really talked about how you just have to believe everything as if it were true. So everything that is happening to your character, believing that it is happening as if it were happening to you, but adding your character to it. And that really connected with me. And because of that, I've been able to teach kids in a whole different way.
Jennifer Tindall, who's directing this production of Charlotte's Web that opens this week, and Kyle Smock, who's the president of TAC at the Lake, at Liberty Lake. The show times are Fridays at 7, Saturdays at 3, and Sundays at 2. At this, and with distancing that you have to do for the audience, is it currently sold out?
We do have opening night sold out. There are some random tickets for the rest of the shows. If you go to tackatthelake.com, there are ticket links. And there is social distancing protocols in the ticketing system. So when you buy a ticket, it does block off seats on either side of your group. And so, and in addition to that, we're required to be at a 50% capacity. Hopefully that doesn't change in any phase changes in the coming week, but that's where we're at now. So it is a little bit harder to get tickets. So I do encourage people, if you're interested in seeing the show, to grab those tickets in advance. Tickets at the door will be somewhat limited, again, because of the protocols put on us at this time.
And it is certainly live theater in the flesh, and so I think we could say it's almost a relief to say that it's not zoomed, is it? That it's not a screen thing, but a three-dimensional thing that you're doing, right?
Yeah, and we're so grateful that we're able to do this. And we looked at throughout this last year, and other theaters have done some Zoom productions, and thankfully they were able to kind of pull them off successfully and rerunning old shows. And we really wanted to stick to that live theater experience. We felt that a lot was lost, not only on the audience, but on the cast. And, you know, just like Jennifer was talking, the education component is so important in our theater. You know, we're what we consider to be a starter theater. We want kids that have never been on stage to feel comfortable to come on audition. We require our directors to cast new people to our theater. And so having that live experience was really important. And, yeah, we're just so grateful we're here at this moment and a day away from making it happen. And I believe we're probably the first in Spokane that's going to do live theater in front of an audience.
Yeah, as far as I know, you are. So good for you on that. So this is TAC at the Lake at Liberty Lake that has this opening on Friday night and this weekend and next weekend. And we were just hearing from the president of the board, Kyle Smock, and then earlier from Jennifer Tindall, who's directing it. So thank you both, and congratulations on keeping this going, getting this going.
Thank you, Vern.
Yeah.
And thank you so much.